This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, T+1 is a thing in the world's biggest market. Faizy published their checklist manifesto. And Euronext completes their GRSS takeover as New York is the epicenter of Bourse Country Cool. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the exchange of information in podcast form, the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 248. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. In parish news this week, we applauded Hong Kong Exchange's group HKEX as one of our three most dynamic bourse groups of the first Exchange Invest decade. The details are also on LinkedIn and other social media, as well as the discussion of our previous nominee, which we were mentioning last week, the Intercontinental Exchange Group. Over in Europe, Faizy launched their checklist in an effort to leverage their previous joint flywheel report of last month. It's all an attempt to get the EU, EC, to broadly appreciate that Europe isn't working. Having been the economic equal of the United States of America in 2008, now, thanks to the sclerotic nature of precautionary principle Europe, 15-year growth has been 9% EU, 86% US, or to put it bluntly, the USA is now an economy one-third larger than the European Union 27. EU households have about $12 trillion in savings, according to the report, and clearly, encouraging some risk would be a wonderful thing to regain a sense of growth mojo across the European Union. Again, the key here is the urgency of sorting out the system. We simply cannot afford another lost generation of growth, as has been taken for granted by the declinist mentality of the EU's commissions this century. Over in BitCarnage, it's a case of burn after reading. The Coen brothers' 2008 spy tale, Burn After Reading, occurred to me last week, and it remains a sublimely brilliant caper farce of hubris, incomprehension, above all human quirks. At the epicentre of the tale is John Malkovich, painfully penning a sublimely stuffy tale of his spy escapades in the form of a memoir, or as indeed John Malkovich memorably would pronounce it, memoir, which rings in my ears at all points in time. Not that I can exactly manage Malkovich's Oscar award-winning actorial brilliance. Now it looks as if the crypto kiddies are getting in on the memoir act. I can only presume former FTX executive Ryan Salameh's tale can be longer or at least better edited than CZ's, as Salameh has the better part of 8 years to craft his memoir, as opposed to the scant 4 months for CZ. Not that I expect CZ is complaining about his shorter book writing time. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day via Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update and happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. This week in exchanges, well, the big news was, of course, T+1, T+1, and T+1. The move to faster settlements for US securities has gone smoothly, said Gary Gensler, the SEC chairman, who must have been presumably rather relieved to be able to announce that. Trade fields were steady. The T+1 move smoothed settlement, reduced billions in collateral, and saw improved rates and settlement failure to the last days of T+2. A perfect trifecta and plaudits to Canada, Jamaica, Mexico, and indeed, of course, the big kahuna of stock trading, 60.5% of the world's market capitalization, the USA. In Hong Kong, optimism is rising that the bounce is back in China and the SEAR as global investors look at the economy improving once again. That's the message from the HKEX, where EI indeed started this year in a lonely furrow saying we thought China was on the cusp of an upturn. Some laughed, but we were right, and that will start feeding through the Hong Kong Exchange's bottom line soon for the daily staple business as we await the more dynamic components of RMB yield curve et al. Coming on stream in ETF form. By the way, the fact that we were right about China is another good reason to remind you that if you work in the bourse business, you need a subscription to the Exchange of Information, Exchange Invest. Don't forget to sign up via the Exchange Invest website, exchangeinvest.com, obviously enough. One fabulous initiative that took place over the course of this week was from, of all places, the, well, broadly never discussed on this podcast and very, very rarely seen within the pages of Exchange Invest, the Cambodian Stock Exchange. They've announced a zero commission on all stock purchases promotion. Also interesting to note that the CSX has brought in the ability to trade in Khmer Real and settle in US dollars. The zero commissions on all stock purchases promotion is running for a month, and I think it's a fabulous way to advertise the stock market and encourage investors. Meanwhile, one market which really needs to encourage investors is, of course, the London Stock Exchange. There's been a bit of a positive network effect for all large listings venues recently because it's had a series of follow-on deals. There may always be a rallentando of IPOs, but at least if you have the content listed already, you can do deals there and thereabouts, and you therefore get more equity listed on exchange thanks to rights and other issues. However, ultimately, if you don't get new listings, eventually your content book shrinks through natural M&A. It's a short through medium term automatic stabilizer effect that you can enjoy, but in the long term, you need dynamic listings to be on the exchange and added to the exchange. And right now, London is an afterthought where New York is the main market. That said, gosh, London's been trying to talk itself up, even though the boss of AutoTrader hit the nail on the head this week. Less liquidity in London is annoying, but London is a risk-off market that kills multiples, especially in technology, and destroys enthusiasm for the idea of London listing, unless you are, of course, a parochial person who believes the UK is the epicentre of your market opportunity. Scary enough, there are rather a few people around who are rooted to a nation like the UK or the EU or whatever, unwilling to exit their crumbling comfort zone in search of where the growth opportunity is, aka the people PLY is willing to treat with the ultimate contempt in many ways, those who don't realise that the opportunity is America and Asia. Then, when we look at the US and its advantage, PLY often discusses the country club phenomenon. MarketWatch have picked up on that this week with an article headlined, "The NYSE and NASDAQ have become the hottest clubs in New York. Here's why." Thus, MarketWatch repeats a long-standing PLY observation. NASDAQ and NYSE are the hottest clubs to be allowed inside in Manhattan, and they're there because of the magnificent listings duopoly that they offer. The country club, in other words, the world's most exclusive country club of capital, with, as I have already mentioned today, 60.5% of the world's market capitalization. The London Stock Exchange is claiming its reforms are working. It's difficult not to actually laugh out loud at that one, frankly, just because they've had one IPO, which seems to have made a bit of an impact. So let's move swiftly on, ladies and gentlemen. And if nothing else, encourage you to add some feedback.
Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast.
No results this week of any note in new markets. We have one new venture that is coming to fruition. The Social Stock Exchange in Malaysia is expected to be launched by the year end, according to the Securities Commission. In deals, it was not such a busy week in the parish, but a couple of interesting snippets. First of all, EEX offered remedies to the European Union's antitrust concerns on their deal to take over Nasdaq Power Business. At the same time then, Reuters were able to follow that up with another exclusive, saying EEX's Nasdaq deal risks a probe as remedies seen as insufficient, according to sources in Brussels. Post Mr. Ass making an INR of himself, Nasdaq agreed a deal with the dynamic EEX to sell their power business. So far, the EU does not like the quasi-monopoly oligopoly at the antitrust level, which is odd because it seems that the European Commission and other wrong-headed folks are mistakenly obsessed with the concept that an oligopoly is the only solution to making EU capital markets better. Elsewhere in deals, Bombay Stock Exchange, BSE, they've acquired the entire entity stake of S&P Dow Jones Indices in Asia, and as well as plaudits to them, plaudits to Euronext. Euronext rapidly completing a deal they first announced in early April as they complete the acquisition of Global Rate Set Systems. If you're trying to understand where, well, rate setting systems and all manner of other interesting bits and pieces of the technological firmament and capital markets slot together, you ought to be considering my most recent book, Victory or Death, Blockchain, Cryptocurrency and the FinTech World. It'll give you an understanding of how technology is affecting life and markets. Victory or Death is published by DV Books and distributed by Ingram Worldwide. While you're waiting for your copy of Victory or Death to arrive, check out our live stream Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time. It's the IPO Video Live Show. Catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via IPO-Vid. Now online, we've got an absolutely fabulous discussion, actually, which is Steve Zvick talking about developments in carbon markets. That's online at the usual places, LinkedIn and Facebook and, of course, YouTube. You can find that discussion, search for IPO-Vid in order to hear about Steve Zvick's latest developments in carbon markets discussion. No show coming this week because, actually, our production team are off because it's Philippine Independence Day. But I can offer you something wonderful, Finance Book of the Week. In fact, in this week's EI Weekend, we had a marvellous discussion all about Rory Sutherland, a rather legendary figure in the world of advertising, and his book, once you get around to the idea that you really want to be thinking outside the box, I thoroughly recommend Alchemy, The Surprising Power of Ideas That Don't Make Sense. It reveals why abandoning logic and casting aside rationality can be the best way to solve any problem. Our next book of the week will be unveiled on Saturday in the latest Exchange Invest Weekend Edition, which is absolutely free to sign up to. Incidentally, you can just drop by exchangeinvest.com and subscribe there. And don't forget, if you want all the news on the bourse business sent daily to your inbox, then subscribe to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. It's only $375 per annum to join us at the Exchange of Information. Product news this week, interesting collaboration when we saw a fascinating panel as well at a conference way out west in the USA, where we had president of NYSE, Lynn Martin, and the predecessor to the NYSE president, well, predecessor to Stacey Cunningham, who came in the middle, which was Tom Farley, the first ICE-appointed president of the New York Stock Exchange. They're coming together because the New York Stock Exchange is collaborating with CoinDesk Indices, a company owned by Tom Farley's firm, to launch financial products tracking spot Bitcoin indices. Very, very interesting, and looking forward to those cash-settled in options in the near future. Meanwhile, a rather, well, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, Senator Rick Scott has sent a letter to the chairman of the SEC, Gary Gensler, demanding action and investigation into CCP-tied publicly traded Zeekr. Now, this is difficult. I get where Senator Scott is coming from, but at the same time, with reasonable transparency, there is actually, well, fascinating conundrum. I mean, yes, these companies are linked to the Chinese government. These companies may even be military backed, and that could be tricky. But isn't it somewhat of a remarkable thing that where do these companies go to get their capital? They come to the capital of capital, New York. New York, New York, ladies and gentlemen. And that, well, if nothing else, opens up, to my mind, a form of Golden Arches theory of capital markets. It could at least promulgate the notion that interlinked capital markets are more likely to reduce the future of conflict. And therefore, reducing that risk of future conflict has got to be a wonderful thing. See also a previous book of the week from Exchange Invest, James Fox's excellent Financial Cold War. One other very, very interesting little tie-up, which I think is absolutely fabulous on the product field, Tradeweb has become the first electronic platform to connect the repo and IRS markets. Technology news this week. Well, Memex, CME and NYSE all had minor glitches in the week when IOSCO came out with their final report into approaches that should be adopted for the development of market outages. Elsewhere in technology news, Nasdaq are collaborating with Microsoft to reimagine the boardroom experience with AI, and the Bombay Stock Exchange CEO inaugurated a new Hyderabad data center. Crowdfunding, one bit of news there which is a bit of a shame. The crowdfunding site Mainvest, based in Boston, is going to be closing down. Quite a niche crowdfunder per se. The real key concern here was the collapse of service provider to fintech Synapse, and that's now biting hard across many startups, which is a truly sad situation for MainVest. Over in career news, well, delighted to see that Kazakhstan Stock Exchange successfully held their AGM of shareholders, and indeed they were having a fabulous weekend-long future planning strategy session during the course of the last weekend too. That appointed at the AGM, the Kazakhstan Stock Exchange board, and I hope that their strategy has got many, many wonderful years to run into the future. In other career path news, Euronext have hired the former ETF boss of Amundi, Arnaud Linas, as the head of ETFs and indices at Euronext, the quasi-pan-lowland, if not exactly pan-European stock exchange group. Finally, in Career Paths news this week, perhaps the biggest job news of the week, Sławomir Panasiuk has been confirmed as vice president of the GPW, the Warsaw Stock Exchange, by the regulators. Then we come to something which impacts us across Big World and more in many ways. SEBI, they have formed a committee to review the ownership and economic structure of clearing corporations. This strikes me as a big worry, ladies and gentlemen. The nadir of such committees was, of course, the infamous Jalan report a decade or so ago, which was so anti-capitalist and anti-market that even the reactionary socialists of SEBI were horrified and essentially dropped the report. Hopefully India won't shoot itself in the foot again with its review of clearing house ownership. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange of S Weekly podcast number 248. Join us daily via exchangeofs.com, or if you have a new exchange or market you'd like to build, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our programme, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.